We're going to look at a passage in the Bible now, which is all about God's help in stormy times. Those of us that have been with us for these last few weeks will know that we've been traveling through Mark's gospel in the Bible, and we've come to a passage in Mark chapter 4, which is entitled in our Bibles, Jesus Calms the Storm. So yeah, the words have appeared on your screen. Let me read those to us now. We're just starting just before this, just so that we get a reminder of the things that have happened during this day in the life of Jesus. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." As I say, we're going to spend a few moments just looking into that passage together. But before we do that, let's ask God to help us to understand and to listen. Father, we thank you that you do speak to us through your word, the Bible. It's a living word. Much of it was written 2, 3, or more thousand years ago. But it's just as relevant today to us as it was to those who first heard it. So we pray that you give us understanding this morning and that we would find encouragement and comfort in the storms that we face. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we may not be experiencing war today on a global scale, thankfully. But there's no shortage of conflict around us. I'm sure you hardly need these reminders. Think of the ongoing suffering and displacement in places like Syria, the Yemen, between Armenia and Azerbaijan, for example. Think of terrorist atrocities in the last few days, even in places like Austria and in France. And of course, the Manchester bombing trial has brought back memories of that terrible day. America, of course, has also had a fairly turbulent week with no sign of imminent peace breaking out. And of course, there's another enemy that we're all fighting, an invisible opponent called COVID-19, which is proving very difficult to defeat. Now, these things raise a number of questions, perhaps lots of questions, in our minds. How safe are we? How long are these things going to go on for? If there is a God, why does he allow all this suffering and misery? Is he even that bothered about it? In fact, you might say, where is God in all this? Well, you may have noticed several questions in the passage that we've just read together. It's called Jesus Calms the Storm. It's one of the most famous stories in the whole of the Bible. Three specific questions I'd like us to focus on. One is, don't you care if we drown? That's the question that Jesus' closest friends are asking him. And then Jesus asks a question of his own. He says, why are you so afraid? And then finally, they're all asking this question, who is this? Who is this? Now, they're all good questions. Does God even care? Does he know anything about the kind of fear and anxiety that's the daily experience for many of us? Does he have the power? Does he have the inclination to do anything about those things? Now, I want us to explore these questions over the next 10 minutes or so. We need some answers, but the Bible gives us the answers that we need. That is, if we're prepared to listen. Those of you that have been with us these last few weeks, remember last week that Jesus said other things to his disciples this same day. He'd been sitting in this boat, talking firstly to a vast number of people listening on the shore. And then when the crowds had dispersed, he talked a bit more with the few of them that stuck around afterwards. And he said this in verse 24 of Mark chapter 4. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Now, Mark's gospel is the good news about Jesus. We've seen that right from the beginning of this eyewitness account of the life and death of this one man who was raised in relative obscurity in a village that was pretty much unheard of in the Middle East, but who lived to become the most talked about person in the history of the whole world. It's good news, not just because he cares when we suffer, not just because he knows our fears, but because Jesus is the living Lord God. Now, let's take those things just one at a time. Firstly, Jesus cares when we suffer. Jesus cares when we suffer. Now, in this story, at the end of a long day's teaching, Jesus is tired. He asks his friends to take him across to the other side of the lake. He finds a cushion at the back of the boat, and he goes to sleep. Before long, this great storm blew up. Now, that's not unusual, by the way, for the Sea of Galilee. And the waves were crashing all over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, we've read. And the disciples woke Jesus up and shouted, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, what do you think they expected Jesus would do about this? They probably just wanted him to get hold of another bucket and help them with the bailout. Well, maybe they're even resenting the fact that he was lying there peacefully whilst they were having to deal with, or at least trying to deal with, the problem. Does Jesus care? Well, from their reaction afterwards, I think we can be pretty sure that none of them had any inkling that Jesus was about to do what he did. Telling the storm to be quiet was not exactly the answer they were expecting. Now, as an aside, what do we expect when we pray to God? And we all do pray, don't we? I trust we all do pray. Even atheists pray to God when things get bad enough. Now, from my experience, we can be pretty direct with God when we're in trouble. And we can be fairly specific about what we want him to do. God, get me out of this. God, sort out so-and-so who's causing all this trouble for me. God, do this, do that. But would we treat God like that, telling him what to do, basically, if we stop to think who he is? Would we say things like that to someone who we know actually cares about us? I haven't had to go to the doctor too often, thankfully, or too recently. But when I have, my policy with the doctor generally is to tell him or her what my symptoms are, and then I wait for them to tell me what the problem is. I kind of leave it to them to tell me the best treatment. Now, I don't know any of the GPs at my surgery particularly well, but I trust that they do care, and I'd like to think that they know how to treat me better than I do. Now, I need to learn to trust Jesus more like that. After all, he's the one who cared enough to die on the cross so that I wouldn't have to pay God's judgment. Now, just because he doesn't always give us exactly what we want, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care. He's often got something far better in store that we can't see yet. We just need to trust him. Now, we've already remembered this morning those who've died in such awful circumstances. And human conflict is caused by things like selfishness, of greed, of hatred, of jealousy. But no wrong will ever escape justice. We need to trust the one who allowed, for our sake, many of these injustices to fall upon himself. He cares about injustice. Now, sadly, we don't always do that. But he doesn't give up on us. Because, secondly, Jesus knows about our fears. Jesus knows our fears. Now, his disciples, we've read here, they were all afraid. Now, I can imagine, you know, Levi, for example, the tax collector, he might not have been so familiar with the water, so perhaps he was a bit less confident. You'd have thought James and John, who were fishermen, would have known a bit more about it. But they seem to be afraid as well. And Jesus addresses this question to every one of them. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I want us to just try and imagine this scene. It's quite difficult, I think, to get our heads around, from having to shout, to hear yourself, to speak over the storm. Suddenly, it was calm. Jesus could talk to them in a normal voice. Of course, he knew why they were afraid. He knows all of our fears. Just think about some of them. Some of us have concerns, perhaps about our jobs, maybe about our finances, particularly through the lockdown. Some people don't know where the next meal's coming from, if you look further afield across the world. Many of us have health concerns. Some are being treated for cancer. Some are struggling with the effects of old age. Others, younger, are worried about school, exams, revision. Maybe you're worried about your image, your looks, your reputation. And some of us, it's just, how are we going to get through this next month of lockdown? The loneliness, the isolation. Well, Jesus knows your fears, even if nobody else does. He spent time with real people. He was a real person. But Jesus has a different perspective. He can see beyond the immediate. He knows how things are going to turn out. And if we follow him, he's promised never to leave us. He was with these men in the boat. He knew they weren't going to drown. But you might say, they didn't know that. No, they didn't. But the lesson we all need to learn is this. If we're in the same boat as Jesus, we will get to the shore safely with Jesus. Now that, of course, is not a promise that it's going to be easy. The journey might well be stormy. There is every likelihood there are going to be battles to fight along the way. But with Jesus in the boat, we will be all right. With him, we can face the storm. And that's because, finally, Jesus is the living God. Jesus is the living God. Now, you'd have thought by this point in the story, the disciples might have been a little bit happier. Jesus has saved them, after all, as far as they're concerned. They're not going to drown, after all. And you could say, well, they're not scared anymore. In fact, they're absolutely terrified. Who is this? They're asking each other. Who is this? And there's a clue to the answer of that question in what they say next. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, followers of Jewish scriptures will know the answer to this. It's in the Old Testament of our Bibles. That's God's word before Jesus came. And we read, didn't we, earlier from Psalm 46, these words, for example, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, storms, wind and waves, it's not a problem for God. The wind and the waves obey Jesus. We read, didn't we, later on in that psalm, be still and know that I am God. Now, these first few chapters of Mark's gospel are all about identifying who Jesus is. He's shown his authority over demons. He's shown his authority over the sick. He's shown his authority to forgive sins. And now what is he doing? He's showing his authority over natural powers, over the wind, over the waves. Perhaps you've never heard, I don't know if you heard the story of King Canute, who became so concerned when he heard that his people thought he was a god. And he stood on the beach and he kept shouting to the incoming tide, stop, stop. As it kept coming in, he shouted, stop. Now, when the water was up to his chest, he turned around to his people and he said, you see, I'm just like the rest of you. Well, Jesus is not just like the rest of us. Who is this? His disciples were asking themselves. Well, they know the answer, really. They know the answer, and that is why they're terrified. They are standing in the very presence of the living God. Now, the good news that Mark in his gospel brings to us is that Jesus came down from heaven to live the perfect human life that none of us can. And he came to give his life as the perfect human sacrifice so that you and I might have peace with the awesome Lord God. And he's conquered death to give us hope beyond the grave. And that is all amazingly good news. And if we've invited Jesus into our boat, we don't actually need to be terrified. However we feel, the reality is that we are safe. Of course we must treat him with due respect. He does care, even if to us at times he seems to be asleep to our concerns. He always knows what we need, which is often very different, of course, to the things that we want, the things that we ask him for. Perhaps your life seems pretty chaotic at the moment. You might have all sorts of concerns. We need to take them to the one who understands. It's not for us to tell him what to do. We just tell him our symptoms and we leave the treatment to him. He knows our worries. He knows our fears. That's why the most often quoted command in the Bible is this, do not fear. We saw it there again in Psalm 46. So as we're remembering today those who have lost their lives for our sakes, many enduring awful suffering in terrible circumstances, let us not forget the God who has himself suffered in giving his own life so that we might live with him in his boat forever. He cares, he does care when we suffer. He knows our fear. He is the living God. Amen. Well, there's a song which we're going to sing now. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair. That when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there.